the thoughts, as always, desiring that the Lord would allow me to get those out the way He would like them to come out. So I wrote up on the board the phrase, faith lost in sight. And I'm sure we've all heard that phrase before, but I'm not talking about this tonight in a positive sense. We all hear about faith lost in sight because we can see it. We won't need to have faith anymore. But I would like to ask us a question tonight. Is our faith getting lost in what we're seeing? Is our faith being impacted by what we see? Is it being hindered by that? I'd like for us to consider that. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. I'd like for us to take a look at Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. A man, if you say, that a lot of us look up to. He is the father of faith. But I was reading some things, and so I'd like for us to start with the promise, if you will, that Abraham was given. And it's starting in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll drop down to verse 7. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And then going on down to verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now I want us to stop and consider something. Abraham is 75 years old. Sarah is 65. Most of us know that's the upper end of childbearing, if it's still possible a lot of times. So the Lord made him a promise. And if you think about it, he's probably thinking, okay, not much time left, but doable. Doable. And now we're not going to read every verse, but if you flip over to the 15th chapter, you'll see that the Lord reaches out to Abraham again. And he started off, you know, Abraham, I'm thy shield and thy great, exceeding great reward. And they go on to have a conversation. And Abraham brings something up to the Lord. He's like, Lord, you know, you're talking about you're my reward, but I'm looking around the people that I'm with, and my servant is currently set to inherit. I don't have a seed. I'm struggling here, Lord, because you gave me this promise, and I can't see it. My age has continued to go up. No doubt the natural human workings of the human body continue to, dare I say, fail. Things continue naturally. And he's concerned. Lord, I'm having trouble seeing this. Now the Lord said, don't worry about it. This servant's not going to be your heir. You're going to have an heir, a child out of your own body. So God had Abraham prepare a sacrifice, and Abraham's guarding it from the birds and all that. And in the middle of waiting for the sacrifice, the Lord gave Abraham a vision. It says, oh, by the way, your seed is going to spend 400 years in bondage in a foreign land before they come back here. So now he's even getting prophecies from the Lord about this thing he's having trouble seeing. And then the Lord caused the darkness to fall and sent the smoke and the lamp between the pieces of the sacrifice. And Abraham's like, okay, Lord, I'm re-encouraged. Well, if we keep kind of flipping through to chapter 16, age is going on. Abraham's now 86 years old. Sarah would be 76. Life is continuing to happen. Nature is continuing to take its course. And so the two of them get together and they agree, you know what? Hagar can still bear children. So why don't you have her as your wife? And that way you can have a child. Because it would be a child of his flesh. That's what the Lord had said. It'll be a child from your body. But you know, God didn't approve of that child, did he? Have we all ever considered something? When the promise was made to Abraham, who was Abraham's wife? Sarah. That's who the promise was made to. You guys as a couple, now you brought a third party in. That third party is not a part of this covenant. But why had they brought that third party in? Dare I say once again, because their faith was starting to get lost in their sight. They were starting to see things, struggle with things. But I can see this is happening. If we don't do something now, it's going to be impossible. Going on over to chapter 17. Abraham's 99 years old now. That would put Sarah at 89 years old. And God talks to him again and he says, you know what? In a year, you're going to have a child with Sarah. She's going to be 90, you're going to be 100 years old. Abraham laughed. Now, he doesn't get chided like Sarah did when she laughed, but he laughed. And if you read it, partly because he's like, I can see the reality of my body. And the Lord has told me that this is going to change. And now also, this is where Ishmael was called out. Ishmael is not a part of this. Abraham had been looking at Ishmael. He'd allowed his affections to go out after that boy. Which, nothing wrong with that from a fatherly viewpoint. But he had allowed his affections to go out to that son as part of the covenant. The Lord's like, no. He's not. He's not a part of it. That was your sight. That was your doings, not mine. We all remember the verse the Lord says. It's actually several places in the Bible, but it talks about he will not share his glory with another. I'm going to do this work, not you. I'm going to do it. Let me do it. So in verse 18, the Lord appears, and this time he's pretty much saying, okay, it's time. And Sarah's in the tent, and she hears it. And she laughs. And she laughs, why? Because she believes it? Or because she's laughing because her sight is getting in the way of her faith? She laughs because, you know what? Is this really going to happen? You know, we're too old for this. It's hilarious somebody to think that would happen. But you're talking about the God of heaven and earth. So then finally, moving over to Genesis chapter 21, Isaac is born. Now, Isaac is born 25 years after the promise. And at a point in time, after all the impossibilities out there, the body stopped functioning. And yet, that's when the answer was given. The promise was given. But I want us to consider something now. Genesis chapter 22. The Lord's not done with the faith. God asked Abraham to do something. He says, you've got that young man that you really like. It's your promise. It's your future. It is the seed that I've promised you that's going to bless the whole earth. This is everything that I've ever told you could have. It is your covenant. And now I want you to go kill it. I want you to take a knife and kill it. What did Abraham do? Did he say, no, oh no, Lord. Uh-uh. You said that's my promise. You said I can see it. I'm holding on to this one, Lord. This is the promise you gave me. Did Abraham do that? No, what did Abraham do? Okay, Lord. I can't see how you're going to raise him up from the dead. I don't know that. But if you want me to kill him and sacrifice him to you, but he's the promise you gave me, you have some way of doing that. And so even though I can't see it, I'm going to be obedient because I still have faith in you, regardless of what it seems. Even to the point there in the chapter of telling his son, the Lord will provide a sacrifice. The Lord had told Abraham who was going to be the sacrifice. Was that statement a lie? Would you consider it a lie? Not being up front with the boy saying, you're the sacrifice? I'm going to put a little different thought on it. It was a statement of hope. A statement of faith. Of, I still can't see it. I still don't know how. But my faith is, you're going to be alive and I will have offered a sacrifice to the good Lord. Somehow he's going to work this out. And he went up there, bound the child, put him on the altar. And then what? The Lord said, okay. There's a ram over there in the bushes. Sacrifice, keep your son. But when did Abraham see the ram? He didn't see it before. You know, we can sometimes, if we're not careful, we can actually let our faith get lost in the things we see. And if we don't see things, we can lose our faith too, because, well, Lord, I just don't see it. I don't understand. Why isn't this working out? I would like to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. How many of you all would agree to go on a journey to a destination that you weren't told? If you were just, no, don't worry about where specifically, but I'm sending you to a destination. It'll be good. It'll be good when you get there. You just have to trust me and go. How many times would we potentially in our wisdom today say, but hold on, I need to know which way I'm going so I don't make a wrong turn. You know what I think the Lord's answer to that would be for us today? You won't make a wrong turn if you're listening to me. You'll be right where you need to be. But you got to trust me. Going on down to verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Would you agree to live in a land and call it your inheritance, but never be able to own it, never be able to build on it, never be able to call it your own, but it's yours? Do we stop to think about what the faith of Abraham was like? I don't have title to this land. And I never will. But it's my land. Why? God said so. What did he have to prove that? What could he show somebody to prove it? Did the Lord give him a written deed of this land will be yours? No, the Lord just said it. This is going to be yours. And Abraham just believed it because it was the Lord that said it. Going on down to verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now I want us to think about this one. Are we willing to believe God for the promise, even if he never gives it to us? To say, okay, Lord, your promise is true, even though you're not going to give it to me? It's what the Bible says happened here. They didn't receive the promise. They saw it afar off. They saw it afar off, but they never got it. But they believed it. If I told you I was going to give you $5 and wave the $5 up here and stuck it back in my pocket, and week after week after week you never got it, would you believe I was ever going to give you that $5? Probably not. You'd start being real skeptical after a while. He talks about it. He periodically pulls it out and waves it. But I doubt he's ever going to give it to me. You know what that is? That's faith getting lost in sight. The Lord isn't waving $5. He's got eternal life. And you can't have it till eternity gets here. It's not that he's being mean or malicious, but do you really believe that that's out there? Do you know if the Lord doesn't come before we die naturally, that we will die not having received the promise either? That we'll be waiting for that trumpet sound to bring us all back up for it? We can't lose sight of our faith because of what we see. Dropping on down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. Here we see Abraham not limiting God to only being able to work within this mortal life. He looked at God and he said, "You're God Almighty. You've restored health to my body in an unnatural way. Gave me a son because of that. Now you're wanting me to kill that son. But you know what? You're the God Almighty. I believe there's life after death and that you can give it. Believe it to the point that I'm willing to kill my son if you tell me to, because the only way your promise is going to come true is if he's alive. And I believe it firmly enough to actually go through with going to kill him. Not just, Lord, I'm about to. Hello? You going to stop me yet?" He was committed to it. His faith was in God regardless of what he saw. Hebrews 11:39. And all these, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Once again, faith is out there. But is it ours? The promise is definitely out there. The Lord doesn't speak lies. I'd like for us now to flip over to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 27. I'm going to read a story here we're familiar with. It's about Peter. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, Wherefore didst thou doubt? So I would like for us to consider this for a moment. We see here that the disciples are out in the midst of the sea. There's waves. There's contrary winds. And Jesus comes walking along. And somehow in all of this tumult, Peter feels encouraged to get out the boat. So he tells Jesus, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to get out the boat." Jesus says, "Come on out." Peter gets out the boat. Walks on the water. And then he gets to looking around. What changed in that picture in, let's say, the 5 to 10 minutes between when he first saw Jesus coming across the water, him and everybody on the boat, and him being on the water? What changed? It's the same waves and contrary wind that had been there when he was encouraged to get out of the boat. Now his heart's failing him and he's sinking. Why? His faith got lost in sight. He got to looking around at the negative things, the oh my goodness, this is just going to kill me, it's going to wipe me out, it's going to take me under. Good thing for Peter, he knew what to do though, didn't he? He put the one thing back in the picture he'd allowed to get out of it. Because you realize the only difference of what he saw when he was on the water looking around is he didn't have Christ in that picture. He was looking at the exact same set of circumstances, 100% the same. Same boat, same wave, same contrary wind. And I find it interesting, if you read the rest of the story, the winds didn't stop until they got back in the boat. Jesus didn't stop the winds because he got scared. Jesus said, I've got you. Put me back in the picture and you can walk on waters in spite of all this. But it wasn't until they got back to the boat that the wind stopped. I would like for us to consider this. Have we ever thought that our faith being hindered can impact Christ's work even after he started working it? That our faith being hindered can impact Christ's work even after he started the work. Peter was walking on water. The work, if you want to say it that way, was underway. It was in progress. And Peter's faith wavered and it impacted. In our world today, we have plenty of things that are trying to impact our faith, that are trying to get us to waver, to say, but you know the natural circumstances. You know the laws of the land. You know how this normally turns out. Are we going to allow our faith to get lost in sight? Are we going to say, you know what, Lord? I don't know how you're going to work it out. I have no idea. But I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe until I'm either saved or like Stephen, looking up, well, looky there. I see Jesus at the right hand, standing. You know, Stephen was truly freed that day. He was saved in a way that is hard for us to possibly grasp. Because while he physically died, imagine knowing that I am about to go home, because not only am I about to just die, but I see Jesus. Now that's when it's okay for our faith to be lost in sight, if you will. Because at that point, Lord, you're coming for me. I see you standing up. And in any minute, you're going to reach down and say, okay, child, that's enough. You will never suffer anymore. I'm taking you with me. But other times he does like the Hebrew children. Three Hebrew children going into the furnace. Similar circumstances. Except when they saw the Son of Man, he wasn't in heaven. He was in the furnace. Walking around with them. It's all right, boys. I know it looks warm in here, but trust me. You're under my protection. Nothing's happening to you. You know, I often wonder what kind of story would we have had it if the three Hebrew children, dare I say, would have allowed their faith to falter and had given themselves up to death. Would we have had the miracle of deliverance? We don't know. But it struck me, if you read the Bible, there's many times where it says Jesus didn't do something because of unbelief. I want to challenge us all, as we go through our lives, we will face storms. We will face challenges. We will face things where we're standing there saying, Lord, I have no idea how you're going to make this happen. I can't see it. Don't let your faith become lost in your sight. Y'all pray for me.